Hey guys, my name is Adrian Macias. I'm competing in Melodifestivalen 2025 with my song Vår Första Gång. It's my first time in Melo and I'm competing in the first deltävling, the 1st of February.
Take it away.
Welcome to Building Bridges. I'm Jan.
And I'm Dave.
And this is a Eurovision podcast for the rest of us.
I think a big välkomna is in order because we're back talking about Melodifestivalen and Melfest, whatever you want to call it. It's our first interview with an artist from the Swedish national final. We're very excited. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. I'm not very good at showing emotion. but I'm very excited. And of course, the first of five heats is this Saturday. Still no songs to talk about. We haven't heard anything yet. But our first interviewee of the 2025 season is someone who's going for his first Melfest. And it's Adrian Macias.
Yes, in this episode, Adrian takes us behind the scenes of his Melfest journey, this whole creative process behind Vår Första Gång, and what it means to him to be part of Sweden's biggest music competition. We'll also chat about the excitement of him performing in Luleå and how he's gearing up for his big night in Heat 1 on February 1st. So let's hear it from Adrian Macias.
The first thing when I started looking into you and your background that shocked me was simply your age and how much you've accomplished already. I mean, it's no secret, I guess, if anyone looks you up, that you'll actually turn 20 during the week of Eurovision in Basel. So, like, how have you done so much? How do you juggle all of these different hats, all these different jobs that you do?
I've always loved singing and you know, acting and being in the center of attention. And I was a football guy before. I played a lot of football when I was small. And then my parents, you know, always knew that I would somehow be doing something with music and all that. So when I was 9 years old, I went to a audition for a musical, which was Billy Elliot, the musical, which is a really famous musical. You know, where Elton John has done the music to the musical, and people like Tom Holland, you know, who plays Spider-Man, played that role before he played Spider-Man. So it's a huge role. And I had never been on stage or, you know, sang in front of people. So it was really new. But we trained for 2.5 years, 20 hours a week for that role. You know, everything, you know, tap dance, ballet, all dancing, acting, singing, and so on. So that's kind of how I got into, you know, this business. And then I felt like I was, you know, a bit finished with the musicals for the moment at the time and wanted to do something else. So I started acting in different movies and series. The first one being, I think, one of Sweden's most famous series, which is called Julkalendern. It's a Christmas show which goes every year. It's a Christmas, different Christmas show, 24 episodes. So I played the lead role there, which really, you know, put me on the map, kind of. And at the same time, I started releasing music and all that, which was really, really fun, but a completely new world. So yeah, that's kind of how I got into this this business and how I started up.
Wow. And you've got, like I said, you've got a few different jobs that you do or have done. One of them, ironically, is podcasting. So can you tell us a bit how you got into podcasting and about your cool podcast?
Well, we actually don't have it right now. We had it before. It was a podcast called Tonårsliv, which is for teens. We kind of felt that there were no podcasts for teens, from teens. As you know, teenagers speaking about their teenage life at the moment. It's always, you know, older people talking about their teenage life a couple of years ago. Yeah. So we kind of felt that, you know, life changes a lot, and, you know, how stuff was 2015, it's not the same as it was 2020 or 20, you know, it happens a lot. So we kind of felt that there was a gap there where we could fill you know, to answer questions and be really open about everything and all the questions, you know, teenagers usually have. So me and a girl named Clara, which is, she's also an artist and singer, we had that podcast. So it was really fun. We were doing it for over 2 years, I think. So it was really fun. But then we both became adults and felt like a podcast idea, you know, it kind of fell there, but you know, you never know. Maybe I'll start another podcast.
There you go. Definitely. So another cool thing, I keep coming back to this. You also got to do some work with Disney and Pixar in Sweden. So do you think some of your mellow viewers might recognize the voice when you go on stage in Loilo?
Both yes and no. It was funny because I saw a TikTok. I'm on TikTok, so I saw in the comments someone who was like, "Oh, it's Miguel from Coco. He's also competing." So that was fun that people know that. But I mean, I was like 12, 13 years old back then, and you know, my voice has changed and matured. So I mean, if you go on my Spotify where I have, you know, the soundtracks from Coco, it's maybe you can get some, you know, similarities, but there's a lot of differences as well. So
right. So we always like to ask, when you were growing up, what kind of music did you listen to? What kind of influenced you? So that when we hear your song on stage, we can kind of compare and see, you know, is there any influence in what you're doing? So how did you grow up? What were you listening to?
You know, when I was small, I always, in the car to school, me and dad always put on kids' music, and we were singing all the way, every day. So that's kind of, you know, when I really started singing, and I was always, you know, singing everything from Justin Bieber to, I was a kid back then, and everybody's dream was to be a Justin Bieber back then. So I think that was a goal I had back in the days. I mean, I still love Justin Bieber. Maybe not there musically because I'm singing in Swedish now. But I get inspired a lot by an artist called Victor Leksell right now. If you know who that is, do you know who that is?
I think so. It sounds very familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, he has the number one streamed song in Swedish, in the Swedish language in Sweden, with like over 200 million something, which is a lot for being in Swedish. He's a huge artist in Sweden. And one of the writers that has written my mellow song with me is a guy he usually works with, Victor Leksell. Okay. And I've always, you know, dreamt of making music with this guy. He's called Adam Englund. So it was really fun to write a song with him, and now that is gonna compete in Mello also.
Well, there's your idea for next year, right? Come back with him next year for a song.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So how did this whole Melfest journey begin this year? Did they come to you with the song, or did you have it already and were you really like chomping at the teeth to get into Melfest? Like what persuaded you, I guess I'm saying, to enter this year?
I mean, we wrote the song, me and the producers and the other songwriters. And I think when you feel like you have a really good song, that was kind of when I was like, but this would really work in Mello. And I think it's a great opportunity for me to show my musical world, kind of. And it's a big platform in Sweden. Yeah. So I think that was, you know, when I, you know, started getting Mello into my head. So we sent it in, and And then I was in the studio actually writing music. We were actually finishing the song that I now released like 1 week ago or 2 weeks ago. We were in the studio finishing up, and then my manager called me on FaceTime, which was really strange because she usually never calls me on FaceTime. So I went to the studio next door, and she was like, "Yeah, congratulations." I was like, "What do you mean?" She was like, "Yeah, you're in Mellow." I was like, "What?" I was so excited, which was really, really fun. But then I went back to the studio, and I couldn't tell him because it was really, really secret. So you know, I went back to the studio, you know, with a plain straight face. We're like, "Yeah, you know, nothing special happened." So. Yeah, where were we? It was really strange, but now, I mean, I knew that I was in going to compete in Mellow. I've known it since, you know, 2 months ago. So I've been. It's been really hard to keep quiet, especially, you know, for all my good friends and a lot of my family members.
Yeah, but somehow Aftonbladet always finds out. They're always the first.
I know, but the thing is, the funny thing is that. You know, I got to know I was competing in Mellow, you know, before Aftonbladet had started spoiling the artist. But still, I managed to, you know, keep away from the last week before. I was the last artist to be obviously to be what's it called?
Revealed.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we still kept it really good, and I really wonder who. Who might have leaked that, but never mind.
Always ruined it. So can you tell us a little bit about Vår Første Gång? Like what, I know you can't say a whole lot yet, but are you allowed to say like what genre maybe, or what kind of influenced it, or what if there's a message behind the song?
Yeah, I think the song is in Swedish. It's called Vår Første Gång, which is our first time in if you translate it. It's about how relationships, especially, you know, reflecting on my relationship now, I'm 19 years old and I haven't, you know, I don't have a track record of 1,000 relationships and all that. So everything is really new. And, when a relationship, when everything feels good, it feels really, really good. And, you know, if something happens, it doesn't have to be in the relationship really, but, you know, if anything happens around that could, you know, put the relationship to a bit shaky or whatever, it feels like the world is, you know, falling apart, kind of. And in those times, in those moments, I think it's important to go back to the first time you met someone, as a Vår Første Gång, and, you know, reflect. That's like why we became us, because it's important to not forget that in those moments. Because I mean, you know, relationships has its ups and downs. All relationships, not only love relationships. And I think a lot of people can find their self in that message kind of because. When you love someone, you're really keen on everything being good and being stable. And, you know, as soon as anything happens or whatever, it really feels like, you know, everything's falling and you got to, you know, take something and hold on to something kind of. But it's a really dynamic song, I would say. It's perfect for an arena, which is fun.
Okay.
It's really big. But at the same time, it's really emotional, really, I think, what's the word? Liksom ärlig. Oh, now I forgot the word.
I'm going to blame I have two co-hosts, and Sunday they're both working, and they both are fluent in Swedish, and neither of them could talk this afternoon. But this is all their fault.
it's a really honest song, I think. I think everybody can relate to it somehow, Yeah, I'm really excited because, you know, we're planning and building the stage right now and trying to get that idea and, you know, the song meaning and the honesty and all that, but still, you know, making it a song, a number, an act to remember. I think that's important. But yeah, it's a process. It is. And it's my first time. So, I mean, I don't know how I don't have all the answers or the recipe for everything.
Well, and that leads into my next question I was going to ask you. So for us, of course, who are outside of the business, but Love Melo, we kind of want to sneak peek behind the curtain. So how does the staging work? When you get picked, do they already kind of have an idea? Does SVT already think, oh, maybe it's going to look like this? Or do you come to them with the ideas of what you want your staging to look like?
I mean, we had our first meeting and they were really open to hear my thoughts. And I had an idea, you know, I had a kind of what I wanted to for all the people watching to feel when they see it. And I think they you know, they have a great, phenomenal team, a lot of people who put together their ideas and they came to me with this idea. Okay, we, you know, you said this and we try to, you know, interpret that and get that into this stage. How do you think this would be? And the thing is, it felt so, you know, yeah, that, yeah, you got it. It was really exactly how I kind of, you know, wanted the stage to look. And I think it's going to reflect a lot on the song, and not take too much. That's a balance. You know, it can't take too much focus, but from the song, but at the same time, you want the people to remember, everything. So yeah.
Right. So if the producers are listening, do you want to open the show or do you want to close the show? Which would you prefer?
I'd like to, I don't know, be somewhere in the middle, I think.
Okay.
Because you want everybody to be sitting, you know, watching in the sofa. Because, you know, you don't want, if you're the first one, you know, maybe some people, you know, maybe a bit late or whatever, or they're eating dinner or whatever. And, you know, I think somewhere in the middle would be good.
Okay. Just not number two. Number two is bad luck. You don't want that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard that. So not number two.
You're, of course, you said you're in the first Del Tevling in Luleå. So that's a bit of one of the smaller arenas. Since it is your first gong, your first time doing this, is that maybe a bit better, take some of the pressure off? You're not in, you know, in Malmö Arena or Scandinavium, one of the bigger ones to start?
I mean, I think it's fun that it's in the first Deltävling. I think that's good because I would guess there's a lot of people watching the first one, especially. Arena wise, I have not been to that arena, but I heard it was sold out, so that was fun, and I think there's still a lot of people fit in that arena, so I think it's good that the song is, you know, really intimate and honest, so I think that's nice, you know, keeping it kind of small, but at the same time, I mean, at the finale in France Arena would be awesome, I think. So yeah, I think it's a good balance.
Okay, perfect. So you're in this little bubble now. Have you been able to listen to any of the other artists' songs yet? Have they at least let you guys hear your competition?
I personally have not heard that. I know some people have heard, but it's, you know, music is really personal. So I think what someone else thinks of the song is not really relevant. I think you yourself has to listen to the song, and I mean, now my song is in Swedish, and but I think, you know, music has its own language, kind of. I think people can get a good feeling still. And I mean, there's 2 months left, so everybody can go learn Swedish. but yeah, I think I have not. So the answer is I have not heard anyone. But I'm really proud of my song, and I think it's a really good song. I would say it's the best song I've ever written, which is awesome to be competing in Melody Festivalen with it also, and to be, you know, setting a landmark kind of in my sound and my my artist vision.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, you're a bit unique. I'm wondering if your song will stand out just from the fact that, first of all, it's in Swedish, because there's not a lot of Swedish songs this year, but also your writing team. It's you and some names that aren't really in the mellow bubble. Like, you don't have there's no big, you know, Thomas Gesson or any of those. No. So, and it's funny because Eurovision fans can often hear, oh yeah, Thomas Gesson probably wrote that, you know?
Yeah.
So because you won't have those influences, it might even stand out a bit more because it might not sound like the others.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, and I hope so. I mean, I'll be the youngest in my Deltävling, which is fun. And even though, you know, my the people that I've written the song with hasn't been in Mello before, I would still say, I mean, Adam has, I know he wrote another song for another artist, which he wrote with Loreen as well. So Adam, I mean, he's a big songwriter in Sweden. I mean, he's written to the biggest Swedish artist right now, which is Victor Leksell, and is behind his hits. So I think, even though they haven't been in Mello, they're really, really good at their thing and their job. And I think it's going to, I don't know. It's a really good song, I would say personally. And I hope everybody else will like it.
Yeah, well, again, like you keep saying, it's all symbolism, right? Because it's first time for everything. So
yeah,
it's a good time for that. So really quick before we leave, this is a Eurovision podcast, so we have to ask, is it something that you grew up with? Do you have memories of? Do you have any favorite Eurovision fans or songs, or maybe previous Swedish songs that went, that you can remember?
I mean, I'll always remember when Måns Zelmerlöw did Heroes. I think it's an awesome song. You know, I remember, you know, I was really young when that was, I mean, I must have been, when was that? That was
2015.
Yeah, so I was 10 years old.
Baby.
yeah. So a lot of memories from that. I think that song, the thing is, I really believed in that song even before it won. I knew it would win. And the funny thing is, me and my dad were in Italy skiing, and we made this cool film about our ski trip with the song Heroes behind in the whole thing, which was before it won, which was really fun looking back to it. But yeah, I would say that's a good memory. But I mean, Cornelia Jacobs also, that was really cool. It was a really unique number, and a great song and a great voice and all that. So yeah.
I met her on the turquoise carpet for Eurovision in Italy. And it was the first time, my first time at Eurovision, but it was the first time meeting an artist. And I literally didn't, like, I just froze. And she was at the end. I'd gone through like 40 countries, 40 artists. And she comes up and she's laid her hand on my arm. And all I could say was, yo, elsker dig. That's all I could get out. And we took a picture and she went on. I was like, wow. And I felt so stupid after. But yeah. She's definitely something very, very special, for sure.
Yeah, she is. She's a great, great person and great artist.
Yeah. So no matter what happens with Melfest this year, like, do you have any other plans for the, you know, for the spring, for the summer, any gigs, concerts, new music?
I mean, I'm really excited to be to have some concerts and gigs. So we're in the planning for that, and also releasing music, more music. I have some great songs. I actually wrote a great song now last week, which is I'm really excited to, and I hope to be releasing that one soon. But yeah, that will be after Mello. Now all my focus is on Mello, of course, and you know, I really want it to be perfect. I'm a person who wants everything to be planned and to be perfect, and I have a lot of expectations of myself and my voice and all that. So working hard for that right now.
Perfect. Well, we wish you the best of luck in that and your first Mello, and we can't wait to see what it looks like and what the song sounds like. Until then, you have any last message for all of your new, I mean, you're in the Eurovision bubble now, of course, so any message to all your new Eurovision fans, and maybe a quick one in Swedish for those that can vote for you on 1st of February?
I think for everyone that doesn't speak Swedish, I think the melodies will speak for itself. It's an amazing song, melody wise and all that, and music has its own language. So I think look at all France when they did Eurovision. I mean, it's a really nice melodies, and their language is really unique. It's not English, so you know, I don't understand it, but I understand the musical language. So I think it's important to see that also. And I mean, Swedish music is really, really popular right now. So I would say have an open mind to it. And what should I say? Big, important last words.
Vote.
Yeah, both. See you in Luleå, I really hope you like my song as much as I do, and let's make it through Eurovision.
There you go. All right, thank you so much for your time, and as you get ready,
thank you.
Like, again, we can't wait to see it.
Thank you so much.
So nice of him to give up his time for us to talk about the song. I think all this is still a little bit new to him, the whole media circus, the doing interviews and everything. So another huge thank you to Adrian for that. And obviously we can't wait to see what's going to happen. And Jan, Melfest is back. I'm so happy. It's like, this is more important to me than Christmas. I know some people are very negative about Melfest because they always pick the same songs every year, blah, blah, blah. But it's so much fun to watch. It's so nice to hear Swedish for an hour and a half out of every weekend for the next 6 weeks. I'm over the moon. I'm so happy. So best of luck to Adrian, and even to the five people competing against him, because I want to see everything. I want six wonderful performances.
No, this is really, I mean, I can totally agree with you on this one. It's just like Christmas. Six Christmas weeks, you know, coming in February and the beginning of March. And I'm also so excited that I will be able to see it live for the first time ever. Seeing final.
Lucky bitch.
Yes, I really am. And I'm really, really so excited to see it. And of course, best of luck to Adrian and all the competing acts competing in Hit 1. That's pretty much it. If you enjoyed this episode, do not forget to follow us on our social media. We're at Building Bridges Pod everywhere. And also do not forget to visit our website, www.buildingbridgespod.com. We will be bringing you the latest Eurovision news to your favorite Eurovision website.
And podcast app.
Podcast app, of course. Amazing. Yes,
we'll be back very soon. We're in the midst of national final season now, so we've got lots of artists to talk to. And yeah, so we'll see you again quite soon.
Yes, see you. Bye-bye.
Hejdå.